I love the power glove. It's so bad.
All right, it's Famicast 111, or in Japanese, wan wan wan. So it's, I guess this is the dog special episode. I am James. I'm taking the role of Danny today because Danny just pissed off to America or something. I'm joined by the usual ragtag bunch of ingrates. The first one being Cyrus
Oh
Delaney.
man, Danny's not here, so Cyrus gets to go first.
That's right.
Oh, you've done it this time.
We're going to start a trend, hashtag screw Daniel. And bringing in the rear is Ty Sugar.
Hola, amigos.
Wait a minute, I'm using the wrong voice. I'm using the quiz show voice. No, that episode's done. I'm sorry about that.
Great
That was a
episode.
good episode, by the way. If you haven't listened to that, Famicast people, go support us on Patreon. This is the quiz episode.
Yes, all our good content is held hostage behind a paywall.
Well, yeah. More on that later, actually. But we're going to keep it to a regular show. I mean, we've a bit delayed, and we apologize for that. But like Danny, like I said, Danny is out. Cyrus has been super busy, and well, me and Ty have been good for recording. But what can we do? We couldn't do a two man show, could we? I guess? Question mark. Well, we
We
did
could.
do. We did do one time, I guess. Me and Ty, when no one else wanted to do a podcast. That was a
Oh, I
long time
suppose
ago.
we did. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. But yeah, obviously, because we waited, the Nintendo World Championships happened, and lots of other news happened as well. So maybe it was worth the wait. We've got more stuff to talk about it because we're a man down. But we got lots of news and feedback and stuff to get through. So it'll probably still be a long episode, even though we always try and keep it to an hour and a half. Never works out like that. So here we go. Let's roll into some new business. Anyway, okay. If you guys don't mind, I'll start us off. I'll start the ball rolling. We got a review code for SteamWorld Dig 2, a game which I was excited to play, like the Tokyo Game Show. You don't really see that as a Tokyo Game Show game, but it was there when we played it, and I liked it. So yeah, I got the review code, and I don't know how many hours I'm into it, but quite a lot. I've probably passed. If I was playing SteamWorld Dig 1, I probably would have completed it by now. I think the hour mark in it's a lot longer game, I think. But yeah, it's pretty much the same, but in a good way, and with lots more stuff to do. So, you're digging for gold and stuff to unlock more upgrades for your pickaxe and all your kind of gadgets and everything, which lets you go deeper and deeper. But it just looks so much nicer. It's just like got such a nice coat of paint. The first one
Yes.
was a little bit, I don't know, you guys would call it poverty, I guess. But this one is definitely not a poverty game anymore. It's it's a real game.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks really pretty.
Yeah, there's a lot of like little subtle rounding off of the animations that was 1000% not present in the first game. It's
Yeah, I
just
guess.
like they just had a little bit of extra money in kind of every department, so it's just
Right.
nice and polished.
That's right. I
Yeah, it
mean,
looks super polished.
they've had a game since then, haven't they? Like SteamWorld Heist, that's come out since then, and that's on everything now, I believe. And that was obviously a huge graphical upgrade from SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Heist. Totally different game, totally different genre, but it looked beautiful. I mean, I played the Wii U version in HD, and it looked fantastic. So this is more in line with that. It's continuing the trend of nice sharp HD, but in that kind of cutesy, steam robot punk thing that they've got going on, and I like it. So apparently the character that you play in SteamWorld Dig 2 was a a non-playable character in SteamWorld Dig 1. It was so long ago since I played it, I totally forgot that. And you're actually trying to rescue the main character of SteamWorld Dig 1.
That's cute.
Yeah, so I've already forgotten his name. But anyway, that kind of, you know, cowboy steam robot guy from the first one. So, like, the town that you're in is obviously it's a lot more expanded. You know, you've got more things to do, more people to talk to. But it's not that important that you talk to everyone at first. I mean, all you need is the guy that you sell your gold to and the guy you talk to upgrade your stuff, right? That's all you really need. There's a few other extra guys. There's, like, a mayor who gives you tips, and there's, like, another guy who you find these blueprints, and he'll give you, like, these cool upgrades to your stuff. But basically, all you're doing is upgrading your stuff so you can go deeper and find more secrets. And they've added this extra layer, which is like finding these golden cogs. So, like, before you would just like pay money to upgrade your stuff, but now you can like attach these cogs to your stuff, and it'll give you like little buffs and stuff. So, like, for example, you've got a lantern which lets you go down deeper for longer. You know, that's what she said. But like, you know, keeping your lantern on so you can stay underground longer, that's what I mean. But like, if you find some of these golden cogs, you can attach those to your lantern, and then it'll give you things like, it'll make gold shine brighter so you can see gold from further away, or it'll make your lantern radius wider. And then, you know, like your pickaxe, if you attach cogs to that, then you'll have ones that like push the enemies back when you hit them, or you know, just do more damage, or get you more double XP when you kill an enemy, things like that. So there's like, and they're totally optional, and you can actually undo them as well. So you can detach the cogs. So if you're like, okay, well, I don't really need this kind of like lantern enhancement at the moment. I'd rather put it into like just killing fools, or like whatever, doing other things, keeping your water up faster and stuff like that. You can just take them off and put them on that, and you can do that as many times as you want, and it's pretty cool. So like, some of the more advanced or kind of cooler things need like up to maybe three golden cogs, and these golden cogs are quite hard to find. But like, just like little tiny little upgrades, you know, it only needs one cog, so you know, and you could just take off three minor ones and put them into like a really powerful one. You can do that whatever you want. And the big new feature, I guess, the big new tool that you have is a hook shot, like a grappling hook kind of thing. And that is really fun, actually. Like, I mean, it's similar to Metroid 1, but it only goes up or sideways. So you can wall jump, you know, you can wall jump almost immediately in this game. It's not even an upgrade. I think you can do it just from the get-go. But like, you could never like kind of go horizontally straight across a room, but like now you can like attach yourself to the wall, and you can actually hold down the button and just stay there, and then use that as a jumping point to wall jump somewhere else. So it really opens up like loads of like maneuverability options that you didn't have in the first one. And it's just a lot of fun. It feels like the physics are good. Like, they've nailed the physics like really, really nicely. You're not doing Batman things like swinging, but you're kind of like going up and, you know, across and stuff like that. So you can like jump way across the room, and then before you would just fall down, but you can just like throw your grappling hook out at the last second and attach yourself to the wall. And that way you can go like up places that you couldn't go to.
Oh, before. Yeah, yeah.
It's so very, very satisfying. Cool. They've got the sound and the feeling exactly right. It's very, very satisfying.
Hey, can I ask you a question about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Have you played Terraria?
That's a kind of 2D Minecraft type game, right?
Yeah.
No, I haven't actually. It does look, I know what you mean now. Now you mention it, yeah. It does look similar to that. I've seen pictures of that game.
Yeah, like it kind of looks similar, but I'm getting the feeling it plays a lot different. So I was wondering if you had played them both, if you could compare them a little bit.
Have you played Terraria?
A very little bit, yeah.
Is it more slow paced, like, you know, digging?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And more like building structures and stuff.
It's I'd add a touch of Metroid into that, and then you've got this, I guess.
Okay.
And, you know, you got wall jumping and, you know, weapons and upgrades and stuff. Yeah, but you are
looks a little more Metroid flavored.
you are basically digging for stuff, basically, to sell. Which is that more Terraria, I guess?
I suppose. I'm not a Terraria expert. I've only played like an hour, but okay.
You're not building anything. You're just selling stuff to get upgrades to progress the story, I guess, okay. Ultimately. But like, yeah, the first one.
Story-driven, progress-driven game.
Yeah, it's weird to think of it like that, isn't it? From looking at it, you wouldn't. I mean, it does have a lot more story than the first one, which I don't think it had anything really. It was just like, I don't remember what the story was. Like, find out what's at the bottom of the mine, I guess. But this one, you're actually trying to find someone. These are earthquakes that are happening, and they're trying to find out what the source of these earthquakes are, and it's affecting the town on the top. But like the variety of places is a lot better. Like in the first one, you had, you know, regular mine, gold mines, and then you did go into some kind of more alien looking places and some kind of futuristic kind of places, and you do have those same kind of things here, but like, because the art design is so much better, the variety looks a lot better, you know. So when you've got these like beautiful clay caves with like luminescent kind of mushrooms and stuff, it just like, it looks way better than it did in the other one, which were like basically just felt like not really palette swaps, but you know, like palette swaps with a little bit of touch onto it. But now these ones feel like totally different, you know, like, wow, this place is like, I've never been here before kind of thing, which I guess you do get that feeling in Metroid, right? Like when you go to like a lava place for the first time and whatever. So, yeah, a lot of fun, and I haven't completed it yet. Like I said, it's lasting longer than I thought. But this is like a brilliant commute game. I mean, I know I've mentioned when I first got my Switch, Zelda was my commute game, and I've kind of cut back on Zelda being my commute game now that I don't need to do that. You know, if you know what I mean. Because I had such a long, monotonous commute, I was playing Zelda because I wanted to play Zelda. But now I'm kind of restricting Zelda to playing that at home because I'd rather play it on the big screen if I can. And this has become my commute game because it is just perfect, because you don't need it on a big TV. And the Switch screen is like, you know, beautiful anyway. So like just playing it portably just makes so much sense. Well, I played the first one on 3DS anyway. So it's like, you know, it feels more at home for me in that kind of, you know, format anyway. But obviously you got more screen space and stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you are slightly interested in this game, I'd say give it a shot. I think it's coming. Is it on everything now? It was like Switch exclusive for like a day or something.
Yeah, I think it's on basically everything.
It's basically on everything. And like, yeah, if you can get it for a like good deal, I would say like, yeah, go for it. I mean, if you're into like those kind of like explore games or Minecraft, Terraria, whatever, it combines those things really nicely. And my written review isn't up on the site yet, but it should be, you know, soon after this podcast goes live, so look out for that. But I haven't quite decided on a final score yet because I haven't finished it, but once I do, I think it's going to get a decent score. I really like it. It's awesome.
Cool.
So I was going to talk about Splatoon 2, but I'll leave that for like the news, because it fits in more with the news than a new business type thing.
All right.
Cyrus, are you doing a big pass on this?
Yeah, probably. I've been so busy the last few weeks, I have literally not gotten to play anything.
So your new business is not game related?
Yeah, so I just got my greedy hands on a review key for Cinemora. Or Cinemora X, I think it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into that. I've wanted to play it for a few years now. So
nice.
I look forward to me having free time to play that and review it for the Famicast.
Yeah, and your commute is on foot, isn't it?
Like a hardcore shoot 'em up like that may not be the best use of my my walking time.
Which way are you going?
Straight in front of a car, yo.
Don't die now. Well, at least finish the review and then you're free to do what you want.
Yeah, well, if I get hit by a car, I can finish in the hospital. It'd be nice.
Ah, good point. All right then, so Ty, it's up to you.
Oh yeah, I can more than make up. I played like a dozen games over this 3-day weekend alone.
I'm surprised to not see Cuphead. Is it Cuphead?
Well, I thought we were just going to do Nintendo stuff, but yeah, I played through Cuphead
There you go.
Working on expert levels now. It's a really good game. I highly endorse it.
I am so sad that game is not on Switch. I would pick it up in a heartbeat.
Is it a Microsoft like published thing?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think they swooped in to like fund it when it was struggling to get put together or something, and they
also the team like mortgaged their houses and stuff, so I don't know how much swooping in they did.
Yeah.
So it's like the Bayonetta 2 for Xbox.
Yeah, but it's also on Steam, and I'm assuming Windows Store.
So, Ty, you're one of the few people on Twitter who's not been complaining about the difficulty on Twitter.
You know, I think most people are not complaining about the difficulty. They really like it.
It's just the very, very vocal minority, I think.
Yeah.
And all game reviewers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Kill all game reviewers. No. there was that one guy at... Where was it?
Probably Polygon or somewhere like that.
Yeah, it was in Polygon or Rock, Paper, Shotgun.
It was Polygon. I couldn't finish the tutorial or something.
Yeah, like I saw the video. There was a cringer. Yeah, I'm like, okay, that's funny. and then, you know, some people blew him up for being bad at video games. And then it's like some other like game journalist types like started writing like, we don't have to be good at video games.
You kind of do. It's your whole job, yo.
What's your job again?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be good. You have to be, like, average at least. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to, like, a movie review, it's like, you know, a movie review and knowing what genres of movie there are or backgrounds of movie history and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, it wouldn't be acceptable in any other form. So you're liking it?
Yeah, it's super good.
It looks amazing. Like, it doesn't even look like a video game in a good way.
I'm torn between looking at videos of it because it looks so gorgeous and wanting to save it for when I get to play it eventually.
Yeah. Okay, let me tell you. When you're playing it, you're not noticing how beautiful it is because you're trying to not die.
Right.
And then, like, you look at YouTube, it's like, wow, that game looks so amazing.
I want to play that game. Oh, I did.
Yeah.
That was the same thing said about that. Do you remember that plasticine-based Kirby game? Like, you played on the Wii U tablet?
Oh, yeah.
Which was, like, this tiny little pixelated screen. But on the TV, it was this, like, beautiful high-res, like, real-life-looking plasticine models. But the person playing the game could never see that. It's only the person watching.
Right. So, yeah, when you're playing it, you have to be, like, extremely focused.
Right.
And, like, not getting murdered by errant shots. You know what I mean?
Right. Cool.
Man, I played a lot of difficult games this last weekend.
Nice.
I guess Cuphead kind of put me on a kick. So, let me tell you about a game that is also very difficult. And available on 3DS, among other things. It's Maldita Castilla EX. Have you heard of this?
Not even remotely.
All right. This is an indie game made by a guy in Spain.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah. And I guess some other people. But it's mostly the work of this one guy, and you can even go to his website and just download it for Windows. And you can also download high-res images to print out for building your own arcade cabinet for this game. Right?
If I ever released a game, I would totally do that too. It's like, it's a painless, free, cool thing to give away, so I love it.
So this is looks like Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, I was going to... Let me tell you about this. Yes, it's like a spiritual successor to Ghosts and Goblins. And like, if somebody just showed me this game randomly and told me it was made in 1986 by the Ghosts and Goblins team, I would 100% believe it. Because it looks and sounds exactly like it. They even used like the same sound chips, the same Yamaha hardware or whatever to make the soundtrack. So it's like straight up old arcade sounds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does it have like a CRT filter on it?
Yes, it does by default.
Nice.
So some beautiful scan lines. You can switch those if you want.
That's awesome that they're on by default instead of just being something you can turn on.
Yeah. So it looks and feels like so authentic. Like, you play a lot of retro style games now, and they look authentic for a while, but then you start running into like these weird little quality of life changes. Like, I don't know. Like little save icons popping up on the screen, or just things that the old hardware can't do.
Achievement unlocked.
Yeah. So this one felt like 100% authentic all the way through. And I did play all the way through.
Nice.
I did not get a good ending, so I'm gonna have to replay it. You have to find some secret doodads along the way, and it's pretty tricky. Like, okay, it's tough. It's not quite as hard as Cuphead. So it's kind of fair. It's a fair challenge.
It has the same really awkward Ghosts and Ghouls jump that you can't, like, once you commit, you're done. There's no, like, change in trajectory
Right.
here.
You can influence a little bit. Like, if you jump forward, you can't stop your forward momentum, but you could slow it down a little.
Okay.
What else? Yeah, basically just shoot left and right, the different items you can pick up. You can actually fire up and down. So
Ooh.
there's a nice thing.
Are you firing, what do you call them, javelin type things?
Yep, just these swords, and there are like a lot of pickups. Like
Do
there's like a
you
three-way
lose your
chance.
clothes?
No, actually, a sad loss right there.
You can take your own clothes off while you're playing the game to make up for that, right?
Yeah, it's one of those haptic feedback things. You can just
Cool. Just
right.
rip off a layer of shirt next.
Yeah. What else can I tell you about this game? Oh yeah, it's based on old Spanish literature. So if you're a nerd for that kind of thing, please enjoy it.
Nice. So this is on 3DS, you said.
Yes, and
Okay.
there's a character named Mendoza in it, so I thought I'd just mention that.
Nice. Okay, sold. Mendoza.
Mendoza. Get Mendoza.
He's one of the most respected citizens in this state, McBain. Yet you drove his limb off a cliff. Sorry.
So yeah, I definitely recommend this game. You probably go buy it on 3DS or whatever, but you could just download it on PC for free, like
Oh
off the
shit.
official site.
Nice.
So yeah, maybe give it a try, and if you want to get it on the go, pick it up on your 3DS.
Ooh, next game. I actually know this one. I've played this.
Yeah, the Swapper. I've had this for a while, but didn't really get around to finishing it till this weekend. Because let me tell you, there's an Xbox promotional thing going on with the Game Pass.
That's the Netflix kind of thing where you can just download as many games as you want.
Yeah, so there's always 100 games on it at any time.
Wait,
And
what's the
then
NFL thing called?
the NFL thing.
That thing that Danny always subscribes to. That isn't that called Game Pass?
There's like an EA Sports thing if that's what you're talking about.
No, like actual American football.
Like you can
Oh.
watch as much NFL as you want.
I think it's called the same thing.
Really? And
Anyway.
not the season pass?
Yeah, no one cares.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you about the Swapper.
I remember it.
Yeah, how well do you remember it? It's kind of a Metroid style exploration game. But no real combat in the game.
Right.
You go to these different rooms and you do these almost portal style puzzles. Except instead of portals, you create clones of yourself and swap places with
This
them.
one.
Yeah.
All right.
And the story just keeps trying to make you go into an existential crisis, which is fun.
If you've ever seen the movie The Prestige, it kind of might think of that movie a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No
Like
spoilers.
a sci-fi psychological thriller on top of that.
Yeah. And yeah, it is. Yeah, I remember it being visually interesting.
Yeah, it's really
Parts.
pretty. It's
Yeah.
very atmospheric.
Yeah. Which I'm a big fan of. I
Not
don't. I don't remember. Yeah, I mean, it does have like little bits of story lore, like which you can read if you want to or not, right?
Yeah,
Am I remembering that right?
I think it puts it on the screen whether you like it or not.
Okay.
Oh yeah, but there's also lots of little terminals and stuff.
And there's like weird things happening in the background, if you want to notice it, right? Like other people that you, because there's no other people in the whole world, right?
There's one other person.
Right.
And she talks to you. And you're wondering like what's going on with her. She sounds kind of crazy. And oh boy, you find out.
Yes, I guess there's some similarities to Axiom Verge as well. I don't know if you played that.
Oh, that came out this week. That's looking
Oh yeah.
tasty.
Yeah. On
I'll
the Switch, yeah.
probably grab that when it's on sale.
Oh man, so good. Brilliant game.
Yeah. So Swapper is pretty short. You can beat it in a day or 2 days.
And that was on Game Pass.
Yeah. I think it was also one of the. No, I bought it before as part of a bundle too.
Right.
It just happens to be on the Game Pass too, and it was one of the games that fell under the promotion, so I went ham on that as well as some other games.
I think I got that and that clone game that you also played. I think they're both like two squids each. Do you remember that Attack of, not Attack of the Clones, but whatever it was called?
Oh,
Stealth, oh, Stealth Inc. Yeah, Stealth Inc.
yeah,
2.
the one with the really terrible name. Yeah,
Yes,
it
that
was in
one.
this pack.
Yeah. Wow, that was a while ago. But yeah, you can hear me talking about that on the first 100 episodes, one of those episodes of
Yeah,
the
just flip
just
through
listen
them
to all
all.
100. You'll find it eventually.
Yeah. After 50, but before 100, I'm going to say right about there.
Okay. So yeah, those are the main games I played. Oh, also Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which came out. I've been playing that, doing infinite combos. What's up?
Does that get a thumbs up from you yet?
Yeah, despite whatever issues there are with the game, it actually plays well. So I like it.
All
Yeah,
right.
I'd probably pick it up too if I had the money for it, first of all, but it actually like I was not too fond of how that game looked at all, but it seems to play pretty well, good from what little I've had time with it.
Yeah, it's fun to play.
And for any
Is this
Nintendo fans, Monster Hunter was just revealed as, you know, they she was playable at TGS. She's coming in the season pass soon.
Yeah.
That's the one with the deformed Chun Li, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they fixed her though. She got
Oh.
a just before the game released, they fixed her face.
Right.
Yeah. The other characters were not fixed though.
Yeah, which
I
shows
see.
how much uproar there was that Street Fighter or the devs had to actually just go, okay, we'll actually fix this one.
Yeah, like you can tell there's like a
Oh,
they recycled a lot of the animation. As far as I know, they actually recycled a couple of the models.
I think a lot of them were actually recycled, like actually took the Marvel vs. Capcom models or models from other games and just changed the shaders so they all match.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Like you can tell like a lot of like animations, like wind poses and stuff, they're still like exactly the same with maybe a slightly different camera angle.
Brilliant. Well
Yeah.
done. It's free,
So
right?
yeah, they did this game on the cheap for sure. No, it's $60 fucking. 90 if you want the season pass with it.
Rip in peace.
Yeah, it's gross.
It was Liam Robertson. He was on our show, wasn't he?
Yes, he
Yeah,
was.
so he was on a while back. He was the one who did the big expose on that game with its dodgy budget recycling assets shenanigans.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
but I
Despite all that, it's fun to play.
yeah, give him a look on Game History Guy on YouTube. He's got some good stuff.
That explains a lot of Capcom games recently, doesn't it?
Actually, it's the exact opposite of Street Fighter V, if you ask me. High budget, looks beautiful, plays like shit.
Yup.
All right, I thought you guys actually thought Street Fighter V played all right, but
No.
it was all the other shit that was so bad.
It's a game I really want to enjoy, but I just cannot sit down and play that game for long periods of time.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, hey, Cyrus, I feel guilty here. You want to play it?
Come on, this isn't Famicast Champion Edition. Let's move on.
Oh, okay.
So, well, yeah, that's kind of a short new business, I guess. Only two of us actually had games to talk about. But let's move on to now playing at the Famicast Deck Camp. Ty, what do we get?
Hell yeah, we had the Happy Smile Super Talent Famicast Wish Show.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, is that what we called it? Oh my god.
That's the abridged title, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. So, for y'all that didn't listen, the four of us, we each did a quiz segment, self-styled, and right. quizzed the other contestants slash participants.
Right.
And that was fun. Super fun. Do you remember the all the themes for the quizzes we did?
Mine was called Fame or Shame.
Yeah.
Where I kind of customized the questions to topics that these guys knew about. And if they got them wrong, then they would lose points. Danny's was
dates.
Called,
it was Danny's yeah, date night.
Danny's date night. He would he was quizzing us about release dates of various systems and stuff like that.
Right.
And Cyrus?
So my one was Shenlong's Game of Chance, where it was all localization questions.
Right.
Any weird changes between Japanese titles and when they got to the West, one way or the other.
And Ty's was weirdly Jeopardy. I don't know where that came from.
What? No, it was, of course, the old fake or real with a new twist on it. It was right. It was all about hacks and technology. And oh boy.
It was awesome. And you can actually play along. If you, patrons, if you're a $3 or more patron, you can download that. And we've got a Excel file that you can download and play along and compare your score to... you know, us, see how you did.
And I know every show we do is our best one yet, but I honestly think that was one of the most fun shows we've had. I really enjoyed that one. So
I made one, Fatal Error. Find out what it is by listening to the show. Cyrus, what else have we got going on?
Yeah, so some of you may know that TGS was recently, and all of the Famicast members were there on various days, so we did a ton of coverage on it. So you can, if you head over to the Famicast, we've got 6 full-length previews of games like we had Fire Emblem, Splasher, Galmetal, Resident Evil Revelations, etc.
Right.
We had, what else? We had we did the Famichatting, where we talked about the dozens of games that we played. I think... James, I don't know how many games you played in total. You were a monster on this TGS.
87.
All of them.
And also we've got video interviews, even with Takfuji with Galmetal, and we had photo galleries. We did the whole shebang. It was like we were real journalists for one brief weekend.
This is our E3. we don't go to E3.
Right.
And then last up, for the Patreon shows that we got this month, of the month of October 2017, we have Sound Test, Famicast Sound Test, Episode 2, which, if you recall, that was actually our very, very first Patreon exclusive show. So that's me, and I kind of play the role of a DJ and just play lots of game music with a little bit of trivia mixed in, but nothing too serious. And the theme for this month, if you couldn't have guessed, it is autumnal / Halloween spooky music. So yeah, please do enjoy. And then at the end of the month, in week 4, me and Ty are going to put on our game designer's hats once again for another episode of Famicast ACDC, that's Armchair Developers Club. And this episode... we are going to dissect the Star Fox series because we thought it would be a good tie-in with, you know, the Super Nintendo / Famicom Mini and, you know, Star Fox 2 and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to break down all the Star Fox games and then design the perfect Star Fox game.
Oh boy!
You're welcome. And Yeah, and to finish up, actually, there is going to be a promotion. If you haven't become one of our patrons yet, but you're kind of interested in listening to one of our shows, we have an exciting promotion which we're going to run at the end of this episode. So stay tuned to the end, and you might be able to win some fabulous prizes. The Fairy Cats Take Care. So, next up, Danny's not here to stop me saying it. It's Depp News.
Gross.
You're welcome. So,
has he ever successfully stopped you from saying it? Because I want to go back and listen to that show.
Nope. And he's not even here. So, Cyrus, let's just call this a mini super splat hour. So there's all the Splatfest is going down. This month. Well, the European one has just finished. And that was, holy shit, do you remember it off the top of your head, Cyrus?
Yeah, this is the most important one they've run yet. It's it was, which way do you hang your toilet paper? Do you hang the flap on the outside or the flap on the inside?
I think it was front or back, wasn't it?
Front or back, yeah.
Jesus and Christ.
You don't seem too enthused with this. I thought this was genuinely funny. I like this. And it's the only of the recent Splatfests that have actually generated conversation. Like, I see people on Twitter like, no, what are you talking about? Way. Yeah, but it's like people talking about how when they used to work in hotels and stuff, the hotel managers would actually specifically give them instructions on which direction to hold to orientate the toilet paper.
Front, of course.
Or if you have pets, cats have an easier time pulling down toilet paper facing out than facing in. So, you know, depending on your setup in your home, these are very important questions to talk about on Twitter.
Did you not participate in this Splatfest at all, Cyrus?
I did not have a chance. I wish I did. This was a very good one.
Well, I tried again. I mean, deja vu here. I mean, the last one that I attempted to, if you recall, I couldn't get in. I couldn't get any. I could sync up with my team. I got my team, but like the opposition team just didn't appear. I chose front row, as you would imagine, as all good-hearted people did. And yeah, I just kept retrying, and the timer would go down. You got like 100 seconds. It would go down like all the way down to zero, and it would just say, "I'm sorry, we can't find any other opposing teams. Disconnect."
Yeah,
and I tried that several times. I couldn't. I literally, this is the second Splatfest I have not been able to participate, even though I wanted to. And it is really fucking annoying. And I'm just, the reason why I was hoping you would try it, because I just wanted to know, is it just me? Is it just like my, whatever, my internet? Is it just where I am? I just don't get it. And it could be because, I mean, you've got the European version as well, right?
So, yep.
Me too. So like, it could be like, I mean, I had no problems with the Wii U version, like Splatoon 1. I participated in almost every single Splatfest from Japan, and I participated in every single European Splatfest, no problems. But with the Switch version, it just seems I can't get in. It's really annoying. And I'm actually considering, I never thought I'd say this, I'm actually considering getting the Japanese version now, because like, at least I'll be able to actually play in the Splatfest if I have the Japanese version. Fucking sucks, man.
I know I've had a really bad track record. Again, it's just unfortunate timing every time a Splatfest has come out that I haven't been able to really try it out.
You actually haven't won at home, were you?
Yeah, and I had I got one Splatfest where I literally got one match in. I turned it on. I was like, I wonder if the Splatfest still going.
Okay.
And it was still, I was like, cool, it's still on. So I played it. I played one game, it was fine. Both teams loaded, it was all good. And then I went, I'll try a second one since I still have a few minutes. And then it was like, the Splatfest is over. Thank you for joining.
Oh, really? Okay. Was that like one of the early ones, like Ice Cream and Cake or something like that? Or?
Yeah, it was the one before Ice Cream and Cake. But
okay. Man. So, and then the Japanese one was announced, and that was Preferred Battle Asset, Agility or Endurance. And Cyrus, I think that was actually one in the past, wasn't it? I think it was the Dragon Quest themed one. This is not Dragon Quest themed.
This is just in general. I remember seeing this one when we went through the list of previous Splatfests.
Yeah. If you're a patron and you haven't listened to it yet, if you go listen to Super Splat Hour, we actually did a full history of all the Splatfests. which is why me and Cyrus are so, so familiar with all of them. But I mean, the reason why I was annoyed by the toilet roll theme one is that it's fucking Halloween coming up. And it's like, why are you not doing a Halloween one? And sure enough, the American one came, was just announced, it was announced last, and the American one have nailed it. It's Vampires versus Werewolves. So in my eyes, that's the only good one. But you know, by the time, I don't know, there could actually be another one this month, right? And the European one might be able to do a more Halloween-themed one. You never know.
Yeah, I guess they might squeeze one in, but that'd be pretty dense.
We got like, what have we got? Like 20, 21 days until Halloween. Maybe not. Anyway. So there you go. Those are the three Splatfests. My team won. I got my t-shirt and I registered for the Splatfest. So I registered as front row and front row won. So I'll get my sea snails either way, even though I didn't get a single win or a single game.
Yeah, I do like that. I think in Splatoon 1, there was one Halloween one. I think it was Europe had this one again. Zombies Ghost. Versus Ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghost so person. I've been seeing some really great fan art of like the four of Callie Marie and Marina and Pearl, all the four singers they've been using as their mascots, like right. All dressed up in their corresponding costumes, and like it's pretty fun. So they should do more stuff like that that can generate fan art.
Yeah, on my side, I let my son play Splatoon 2 for the first time. He was just playing in the story mode. Obviously, I have to sit through the Marina and Pearl stuff. And he immediately looked at Marina and said, I like her. She's beautiful. within seconds. I didn't even ask him, you know. It was like, Pearl just denied immediately.
She's just like, she's too nicely designed compared to the other one, whatever her name is, Pearl.
Yeah, who cares?
Like, Pearl is just like, she is deliberately unattractive looking and making Marina look even better.
Right. So they have it. My son's favorite Nintendo Switch based characters are Marina and Twintail from ARMS.
Good taste.
You can see a pattern emerging. Let's move on from Splatoon news. Well, because I mentioned Twintail, I'll just mention that the ARMS version 3.2 trailer hit, and it showed like a new kind of evil Spring Man.
Ooh, yeah, he looked kind of almost robotic, so it might be like Mecha Spring Man or something.
Evil Ryu.
Yeah. People are already speculating, you know, who's going to be violent Twintail or something like that. Who knows? And also medals. They were kind of showing medals, like kind of achievement-based medals. And a new kind of like, I don't know if it was a new training stage or just like a new stage in general.
Yeah, it's the training dojo that you've been able to use before is now becoming standard stage.
Yeah. Maybe it can change with depending on who's playing as well, something like that. So yeah, anyway, that's not out, but there was just a trailer that announcing that, you know, it's on the way and we don't have a date for that yet. But yeah, looks cool. And nice that they're adding, you know, new characters.
I was honestly a little kind of put out by this update because it's a character that's already in the game for the most part. You know, it's reusing Spring Man and it's giving you a stage that is already in the game.
Right.
It felt very much like a hang on a sec while we make actual new content.
Right, remix,
Yeah, it's just like a placeholder thing just to tide people over while they make more stuff.
Splatoon 2 also had some new matches, new stages. I actually played on one. It was like a harbor-based one or like bridge, like a new bridge / harbor.
Oh, yeah, it's a bridge.
That's pretty cool. It's like, it is the genius thing about Splatoon stages is that they are like mirrors. Like you can actually just put like a mirror down the middle of it and it's exactly the same. But when you're playing it, it doesn't feel like that. It's like from whatever side you start from, you think, okay, this is where you should start from.
Yeah.
But then the opposite team, they're looking at exactly the same thing, but it just doesn't feel like that. It's just like genius level design. It's amazing. And this new Harbor Bridge one is exactly like that. When you start playing it, it really doesn't feel like it's a mirrored stage, but it totally is. So next up, we have finally got some news about Dragon Quest XI on Switch, which, you know, I've been trolling the shit out of this game, the Switch version of this game, for ages, because it's just not been mentioned. Like, it's just like people just like cough and like walk off stage every time someone asks a question about it. Like, like the whatever it is, like the producer like said, like, there are adult reasons for why we haven't talked about this, and like, just, you know, please understand, please look forward to it, please, you know, please wait. But like, no release date, nothing, not even a single screenshot has been released. And finally we found out a possible reason for this. So at the Unreal Fest, which I'm sure Ty's familiar with, Yuji Horii was on stage, and this was in Yokohama, by the way. And he said that the Nintendo Switch version of Dragon Quest XI, subtitle is Sugi Sarishi Tokio Moto Mete, is being developed in using the Unreal 4 engine. And not only that, but the Unreal Engine 4.15, which is the latest one, which is the only one that works on Switch. And the PlayStation 4 version is using the slightly older Unreal Engine 4.13. Because like the you have to have the latest version of Unreal for it to work with Switch.
Okay.
So they're having a little bit of a problem, like those are not matching up as much as as well as they thought, you know, with the PlayStation 4 when being on the slightly older version. But, you know, I don't really get that. Like, shouldn't they scale? You know, it's both Unreal Engine. I don't get it.
But I don't know either, but I know, like, things like Unity is also having trouble being ported to Switch. So that's why, like, Yooka-Laylee isn't out yet, and that Battle Chasers game, the Kickstarter one, they're both Unity running. They're waiting for Unity to release a build that works on Switch, so...
Oh, I thought Unity already worked. Oh, like an update to it.
Yeah, an update that allows them to work on it. That's, again, so weird engine troubles.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's developmental issues, problems are just, you know, rumors. There's been no official confirmation of that, obviously. But yeah, hashtag James was right. So you're welcome. Okay, what else we got? Oh yeah, Super Famicom Mini was released.
Cool. Yeah, Danny picked one up.
Yeah, Danny's got one. Check out Danny's Twitter account at Danny Bivs, if you want to see pictures of that. He actually has a Super Famicom, actual Super Famicom box in box, which I believe he got from some family member of his wife. So he actually has side by side pictures of the actual Super Famicom art box with the Super Famicom Mini, and they are just replicas. This is like a mini replica of the actual box.
Yeah.
And the artwork for this episode, for this podcast, you know, beautifully designed by Cyrus, very much riffs on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really enjoying like all the people posting their collections of like the actual Super Famicom, then the 3DS with the Super Famicom shell, and then the mini yeah. Super Famicom. And it's like, you know, all of them with their boxes side by side and stacked on top of each other. And it's right. Really cool seeing like all these variations on the exact same design.
Yeah. So I've been hanging out in, you know, certain IRC channels that I'm always in. And it's been nonstop chat about what sick, amazing ROMs they've hacked onto their SNES Mini.
Oh yeah, there's been a couple of hacks so far, haven't there? There's one, an even easier one that just been recently released, right?
Yeah,
you can add your own ROMs.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, it's super easy.
Although, like, once you hacked it, it's not like full compatibility with everything immediately. It's like 80% compatibility or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah, not every ROM works. I heard like. It tends to be the larger ones that don't work, but I don't know if that's actually true.
But I mean, this thing runs fucking Star Fox 2 and Yoshi's Island, so I don't really see any problems with anything, really.
Yeah, well, you have to keep in mind, as I understand it, the way most ROMs floating around the internet work mm-hmm. is like a ROM dump, like straight off a cartridge, most of the time won't actually work with an emulator. Like, each ROM needs to be patched a little bit.
Right.
So, that's the rub right there.
And also, people have reverse engineered the Star Fox 2 ROM and actually put them on cartridges. And they actually do work in Super Nintendos.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, I've seen a lot of people with their custom Star Fox boxes and things. Like, that's really awesome.
Beautiful. That's a let's call that a gray area.
Yeah.
Completely illegal area. But, like, I guess people are gutting original Star Foxes or Yoshi's Islands, you know, anything with a Super FX chip in, and then, you know, soldering extra circuit boards with the Star Fox 2 ROM on it. And then getting it to work. So it does run on actual hardware. It proves it is actually the actual Super Nintendo original. It's not like some, you know, fake version that they've patched. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Just from a technical standpoint, it's kind of amazing. So yeah, I mean, Danny has got one, and well, he's in America now, so he's probably not playing it. Brilliant. But he apparently said it was quite easy to get. He just walked in, didn't have a reservation. He just walked in, got one, and there were several available when he was there. And I've heard similar stories. I think the friends of the show, A4 Play, they were also having similar, not too difficult stories about getting them on launch day. Like, there was a lottery, but, like, everyone in the lottery got one.
Yeah, everybody wins!
Yeah, which is still not the case with Switches. Which, on that note, is kind of annoying. I was speaking to one of the neighbors who've, you know, their kids are friends with my kid, and they were like, oh, yeah, we've got a Switch. You know, I was like, oh, you know, slightly seething, like, how did you get one? Interesting, you know. We just called up Toys R Us, and they had a few. So we just walked in and got one. It's like, oh, fiddle-dee-dee. How interesting.
Yeah, I was at a... I was at a place over the weekend. It was like a restaurant, and there was two kids sitting across from each other, both with Switches. And I was like, wow, I've never seen two Switches in the same place before.
Yeah, that should be illegal.
Like, millions of them, but...
Bitches. I mean, yeah, good luck to them. Enjoy it. So, yeah, Super Famicom Mini. Do we have any thoughts on it?
It's cool. If they sorted out their supply chain, also cool.
Yeah.
Again, they kind of burned me with the Famicom, the original, the Famicom Mini, the first one, that I just lost all interest. If I had been able to walk into a store and pick that one up, maybe I would have one now, and maybe I'd be more interested in the Super, but it just dropped off my radar because I assumed I would never see one in the wild.
The way I see it, I mean, for people like Ty who are not interested in, you know, quote, paying for ROMs, like, this is like, how I see it is you're getting two Super Nintendo controllers, brand new Super Nintendo controllers, which work on modern systems. You're getting a little computer, which can be modded to play other stuff, you know, for like, what, 8,000 yen? I mean, it's a pretty good deal, and works over HDMI, which, you know, usually you need like HDMI upscalers and all that kind of nonsense to get like old consoles working, right? So it's a pretty good deal, if you think about it. Ty, thoughts?
Nah.
Okay. Righty-ho. What else have we got? Okay, let's look. Now we're just going to have some news tidbits here and there. So just chime in with your thoughts as you see fit. So first up, Shovel Knight sold more at the gate than any other platform on Switch. Yacht Club's David DeAngelo apparently said. So yeah, Shovel Knight's doing well. Right. Is anyone still playing Shovel Knight?
Yeah, they had the exclusivity for a month, right, with the new DLC.
Oh, right, yeah.
Point, yeah, that would be a thing.
That would be a thing. But yeah, Switch owners like Shovel Knight. And those new amiibos come in, right, Si?
Everybody likes Shovel Knight.
I'm... like, I still have it on 3DS. I still haven't played... I played Plague Knight, but I haven't played Spectre Knight or Treasure... or King Knight.
And, Treasure Trove? Oh, okay. Yeah,
I might see if I can pick this up again on Switch, because it's so good. I want to play it on a better, bigger handheld than my tiny 3DS. Right.
Yeah, King Knight isn't out yet.
No, he's not out yet? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you'll be hearing about it as soon as he is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Digitimes, oh, we should say that these tidbits are via JapaneseNintendo.com, a friend of the show. We're actually hoping to have him on the show one day. He was scheduled to be on this show soon, let's just say. Please to enjoy. Please to look forward to. That's JapaneseNintendo.com. Digitimes reporting that Nintendo have upped their orders of Nintendo Switch to 2 million per month. Which is obviously good. Maybe finally people are going to actually be able to buy them in shops without having to go through a fucking lottery. What else have we got here? Fire Emblem Musou sold 40,000 units on Switch and 21,000 on 3DS. Goodness. Actually, we do have the charts. Yeah. So yeah, it was number one. This is like the last week of September, like / beginning of October. Fire Emblem Musou was number one on Switch. Splatoon 2 is a number two. That sold 29,000 copies. That's up to 1.2 million in Japan already. Jesus Christ. Pokken DX, Cyrus, sold 25,000. That's up to 77,000 in Japan.
Yeah, it's like it's a good game, but if I'm just not interested in picking it up again right. Since I got DX.
Hey, man, I feel you. That's Mario Kart for me. Fire Emblem Musou on 3DS sold, yeah, like I said, 21,000. Then we have Pokemon Gold and Silver. What the fuck?
Yeah, they got released. They just came out recently.
But this is the physical chart, so I guess it's the the magnet thing that you can buy, right? Like the little special edition thing that comes with the magnet.
Oh, yeah.
A download code of the game. So I guess it technically counts as a physical copy of the game. Yeah, I actually went into a Pokemon Center last week and I saw these. And yeah, they do look exactly like the original Japanese Game Boy boxes.
Gold and Silver, that's a good game. Is it your favorite Pokemon? Because it's my favorite Pokemon.
Never played it.
Oh.
I only played Blue and that's it. It's enough for lifetime Pokemon for me.
I've always had a soft spot for Ruby Sapphire, even though they're generally regarded as the worst in the series.
Yeah.
All right. Number six, we have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Switch. Obviously, that's up to 666,000. Ominous.
Hail Satan.
Number seven, we have FIFA 18. That sold 12,000 in its first week. That's the first week sales.
A Western game.
Yeah. Hope you like downloading massive patches onto your micro SD card day one.
Fuck.
Please do enjoy. Number eight is Dragon Quest XI on 3DS. Have you noticed that all of these Nintendo games, by the way? The whole top 10. Number nine is Breath of the Wild on Switch, which is up to 526,000 in Japan. So that's less than Mario Kart 8. That's a shame, isn't it? Number 10 is Monster Hunter Double Cross Nintendo Switch version, which is up to 159,000 on Switch. So there you go.
I still don't understand why that is not on Western Switches.
It will be.
Like, unless they're like deliberately just leaving it out so that people will focus on World, the one coming out for the more Westernified
monster. Right. I think both will see release because the world is not coming on Switch.
Yeah.
So it's not, no one's eating each other's lunch. It's like, that's the Switch version and world is the big boy console version. Cyrus, did you know that an ARMS graphic novel is coming out next year?
Yeah. I saw this mentioned on a couple of game sites, published by Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
Yeah. Very strange. Dark Horse is a big like Western publisher. So I don't know where they got that deal from, but they did, so I'm curious.
They've published a lot of video game-related stuff before, haven't they?
Yeah, but, like, a Nintendo, like, a recent Nintendo game? It's been a while since they published a comic based on a Nintendo property.
I don't know if you remember, there was, like, a Mario comic and, like, a Game Boy comic or something that was, like, really surreal. Did Dark Horse publish that, or was that somebody else?
I honestly can't remember. I don't know.
They have those. Oh, man. The Game Boy one is so good. So weird. Must get Game Boy. And the dude like smashes the window because he's being mind controlled by the villain from Super Mario Land. Right?
What? I'll take a look at that.
So good.
Next up, new trailers for Ultraman, Ultra Sun and Moon. Cyrus, any interest?
Yeah, I had a look at it. Like, one thing that kind of got me with this, like, I'm still very slowly going through Sun and Moon on my 3DS. Right. And, like, they really tried to push a more epic plot with this game. Like, this whole thing, spoilers, but it's, like, all about alternate universes and these other alien beings coming through. And it's just, like, really strange for a Pokemon game. So there's, like, and this new game delves more into this shadow monster that's coming through from another dimension. They're doubling down on like big epic story moments with this new game, whatever they're doing.
All right.
So, I don't know. Anything else aside from that? It just looks like more Pokemon.
Sounds good. Okay. What else have we got here? New map, already mentioned this in Splatoon 2, called Snapper Canal in English. In English, it's called Enkawa Kasenjiki in Japanese. That's already out. Please do enjoy. And also Rayman Legends was announced to coming out in Japan next year. So that's kind of like that Rabbids game, right? All the kind of weird Ubisoft Western games are coming out next year. That's just the pattern, it seems.
Yeah, it's that's Mario versus Rabbids has opened the floodgates. Ubisoft are in.
There you go. New Mario Odyssey trailer looks incredible. Holy shit, that comes out in not very long. There's already download cards available in Japan. Have you seen those out in the wild yet? Or
No, I haven't been to 7, so I haven't 7-Eleven, so I haven't checked. It's usually where they show up pretty fast.
Yeah, so you can actually just buy it right now and have it pre-downloaded, I guess. Yes.
Are they pre-download cards, or are they just put on your shelf until the game releases cards?
That's a good question. I don't know what happens if you put the code in now. I think you can preload games. They'll work until the October 27th, but I believe you can do that if you see it in the wild. Mario Run got an update. No one cares. It's now cheaper. No one cares. Bad game is still bad. Inazuma 11 is there's going to be some information. They could actually be a Nintendo Switch version. They're kind of like teasing it. It could be coming on the 21st of October, so look out for that. There's going to be a live stream for a possible Nintendo Switch version to be revealed, if anyone likes that. Monster Hunter Cross Fire Emblem has come to Nintendo Switch and 3DS versions of Monster Hunter Double Cross. Looks like, what's his name, Marth or something?
It's like a Marth costume slash weapon.
If you like either of those games, which I don't, but Man, I just couldn't be less interested in that. Monster Hunter and Fire Emblem. But it's
it'll
nice.
Sell tons.
Yeah. In Japan, people are going to love it. What else have we got? Has anyone heard of this game? Ao no Kanata no Four Rhythm?
No, I saw the saw the title here on this list. It's really nice art, but
it's what is this? Is it like a music game? Isn't it?
Looks like it's just trying to get in there ahead of Gal Metal.
Yeah, a music game with high school girls in. Brilliant. It's going to be released on the 29th of March next year, anyway. 6,800 yen. Or 9,800 yen for a limited edition.
Oh, man. What color panties does it come with?
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
Nintendo have applied for lots of new Game Boy image trademarks, which is weird. So, like,
Game Boy Classic Mini coming. It's about the size of, like,
it could be that. You can't have like USB sticks in the shape of Game Boys. It's weird. It's really weird. Like the list of stuff that they've kind of trademarked is kind of amazing. It's like down to like freaking suitcases. It's like you can't have suitcases in the shape of a Game Boy. we've trademarked that. It's like, it's really weird. It doesn't just, it covers software, obviously, but like all these kind of weird, like pencil cases and USB sticks are like specifically mentioned by name in this trademark.
Oh, man. I can see this happening. There's going to be so much merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
Like little handbags and stuff.
Exactly.
Everything.
But you're thinking on the right lines.
Yeah.
King of Fighters 95 is coming out in a few days on Switch. Is that a good game?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's just added to the pile of King of Fighters games that are now on the Switch.
Exactly.
There's like 8 of them.
Yeah, well, like 98 is like the king. Okay. 95 is kind of like the prehistoric goo that it crawled out of.
Okay. I'll tell you what for that. Available for 800 yen soon.
It's kind of expensive for a ROM.
There you go. what else have we got here? Okay.
Just as a side note, I watched the trailer for that Aono Kanata no 4 Rhythm.
Okay.
I still have no idea what this game's about.
Sounds like a Japanese game, all right.
Something about girls with shoes that lets them fly, and maybe it's still a music game. I don't know.
There you go. Sold. To some people, at least. Has anyone heard of a tactical RPG called Unsung Story? This is one called Tale of the Guardians.
Maybe in passing.
Okay.
The name is vaguely familiar, but definitely not.
Coming to Switch.
It's a Kickstarter game, as far as I recall.
Okay. Has anyone heard of a visual novel called K.G. J.B. Harold no Jikenbo Manhattan Requiem?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it, though.
Coming to Switch this fall. no fucking idea. Okay, Famitsu. No, sorry. Inside Games. A Japanese website called Inside Games recently polled their readers about the top 10 Kirby games, and I famously hate all Kirby games, but the top game voted by the readers was Kirby Superstar, aka Kirby's Fun Pack, Hoshino Kirby Super Deluxe, and that got number one game. Press up to win, I guess. You were just talking about, a Mario comic strip, right?
Yeah.
Super Mario Kun Masterpiece Selection, which is a comic from the Shogakukan, is now available. It's a B6-sized comic book available for 630 yen. If you want to get that. Only in Japan. I think it looks really weird, the Super Mario Kun.
Yeah, it looks...
he's got a really strange face.
Yeah.
Like, usually Nintendo are so strict about what stuff looks like when it comes to Nintendo. Like, official licensed products have to look like the Nintendo versions. See, literally any other version looks really strange, as does this Mario.
I hope you guys saw the excerpts from the Pokemon manga I tweeted out a few months ago.
Yes.
Along with "No, Mom, don't come in."
was that the manga that was drawn by like the hentai artist?
I don't know if he's a hentai artist. I probably should, but he was definitely drawing for a more adult audience.
Yeah, I used to have some of the pages from that as like reference material when I was in high school. They were passed around by the rest of the school pretty regularly.
For some reason, when you said that, I thought of that game, Mom Hid My Game. But I guess that's totally different.
Mom found my hentai comics.
There you go.
Oh, no. There's two boys holding stars for wishing. Yeah, one boy sure. Sometimes I feel we've been missing. Ooh, love, I try, the way they go.
like I mentioned earlier, Nintendo World Championships 2017 happened. I've only watched bits of it. How about you guys?
I saw it in passing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to keep on top of it with Twitter updates, but wasn't. I didn't get to actually watch any of it.
I mean, it sounds like it was a success, and people are asking for it to be an annual thing. And they had some actual interesting games, not like brand new Switch games that they're trying to, you know, push on people.
Yeah, actual they rolled out Mario Party 2 and yeah. stuff.
They rolled out Game Boy Tetris, I believe.
There we go. So actually, we do have a little breakdown here. So it happened on the 7th of October. If you missed it, it's on the Nintendo of America's website. We've got the full like 4-hour video. So it was like an elimination tournaments type thing.
Uh-huh.
And the lowest scoring contestants got put in these kind of underground stages where they risked elimination. So you could actually, you know, get back in that way. And the underground ones like tended to be like retro games, like really old games. But anyway, the first stage was shield surfing in Breath of the Wild. Like,
that's awesome. Running.
Yeah, like one point to another, like either running, climbing, and shield surfing as best as you could. Then there was a high score challenge for home run contest in Smash Brothers. That was pretty interesting. Like, you could choose any character you wanted. It was the Wii U version. And yeah, people got the fucking reverse elbow, like Ganondorf reverse elbow, nailed. It was really impressive. And sending it fucking like 8,000 meters or feet.
If any of the listeners haven't seen any of like the home run contest, like perfect runs, like, yeah. Look them up on YouTube. They're actually really fascinating to watch, like, how they juggle the sandbag for just the perfect, like, frame-perfect amount of time, then use, like, smashes to just, like, blow him out of the park.
It's Falcon and Ganondorf who can do that reverse elbow thing, right?
Yeah.
I believe. Like,
could be. I don't know the specifics of that much detail. I've just seen some ridiculous runs.
Like the Falcon one, like you do a Falcon punch away from the sandbag, but then you do like
a quick turn at the last second.
Like a smash in the opposite direction at a certain like frame or whatever, and he turns around and punches like incredible like damage. It's like super fucking hard to nail, but if you do it, it's like, you know, incredible damage. And yeah, a bunch of people did that like live on stage. So that was very impressive. What else we got? Then they went, next one was Metroid Samus Returns. Obviously, they're trying to peddle that, right? So there's a boss called the Diganaut, and it's kind of like you have to escape it like by running to the right away from it. And, you know, lots of like pitfalls to fall into, and it's like you get crushed and game over immediately kind of thing. So it's like basically just survive. Then what else? Then on stage two, there were 2 8-player Smash matches. Yikes! That must have been interesting. And then the 12 remaining contestants went into Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Grand Prix. And then there was the 3 matches of Splatoon 2, which was Tower Control. I'll have to watch that one. And then the last 4 players were doing 1v1 arms matches. So, yeah, I guess 3 Switch games back-to-back there.
Yeah, because, you know, then, most people only tune in for the final game, so they wanted to push them, I guess.
Yeah. And then the top 2 contestants went through to the final round. So the bottom 8, the underground losers bracket, were these games. There's Balloon Trip on the NES. That was a high score challenge. And then there was Bird and Beans, which is like this fucking ancient DSiWare game. That was like a moment. So like apparently it was like a WarioWare game.
Yeah.
Like it was in WarioWare, but like they took that one mini game and made it into a full game and sold it on DSiWare.
Wow.
And then that was that was on the underground losers bracket. And then there was a minecart race in Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is the Wii game with the bad motion controls. Then there was a high score challenge in Tetris on Game Boy, like Ty said.
Yeah.
And then the final underground stage was Mario Party 2. Three mini games from Mario Party 2. Like on the actual N64. Were they playing it on actual N64s? I haven't actually seen this. I'm going to assume they were.
I don't know. I just saw Mario Party 2 pop up my Twitter feed. I was like, that's cool.
Because that is probably on the Wii as emulated, if I remember. So it could be, they could have been playing it on Wiis. But I'd hope they were playing it on actual N64s. On CRT TVs. Probably not. So yeah, the finals, the big boys, with three players playing Super Mario Maker, similar to the grand finals in 2015, which were fucking incredible, if you ever watched that. Like, they were playing, like, a balls-hard Mario Maker level that they'd never seen before, and which were later released, actually, to the public.
That's cool.
Yeah, I remember, I beat all the stages, but yeah, they were fucking hard, and like, it took me several attempts to beat that, and that was not in front of a live fucking audience. So, God knows how they did that. It was amazing. So, yeah, I don't know what stage that was, but I'm just going to guess it was a balls hard one that they didn't know about. And then they moved on to Mario Brothers Deluxe on Game Boy Color. What the fuck? Okay. And then Mario Odyssey. So that must have been pretty amazing because these were two challenges that they never seen before. It was like a level and then beat a boss.
And it was I love how there was like shades of the wizard with this.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, they play the video game tournament and they get to play the new unreleased Mario as the final stage.
That's new right. Game. That's right. And for some reason, everyone knew all the secrets.
Yes.
It's just the most fucking nonsensical part of the wizard.
Right?
Because the whole point.
He's really good at video games, okay?
Yeah. And I think, like, the whole point was to, like, get the most points, if I recall from the wizard, right?
Yes. Yeah, and there's no points in Mario, and, like, so, you know.
But no, but, like, doing that shortcut and, like, skipping on the levels gets you literally, like, the least points ever. Yeah. So, like, it's no sense. If you don't want to know who wins, fast forward on your music device of choice. The overall winner was Thomas G, who defeated the 2015 champion, John Numbers. So, yeah, well done to Thomas G.
GG, Thomas G.
There you go. Oh, okay, wow. Welcome back if you skipped the spoiler bit. All right. So, yeah, that's a lot of news. So let's move on to some feedback. First bit of feedback we have is an email from Jefferson Cuba, or Cuba, which you may recall from a few episodes back, because he emailed us, and well, I'm just going to read it because he kind of goes through it anyway. He goes, "Hi, I don't know if you guys remember me, but I sent an email 3 months ago. I was telling you that I was going to live in Japan." Yes, I do remember that. What was he asking about? Like, what social things to avoid, isn't he?
Yeah, stuff to know, basically.
So I'm pretty much living a Cyrus life.
Oh yeah. Good life.
I'm living at Nanao in Ishikawa and there's nothing here, just pachinko. Does that sound familiar, Cyrus?
Yeah, from my window I can see the pachinko parlor.
Brilliant.
It's really sad because when I got to this town, you can see this, it's like, oh man, that's totally a game center. And it's like, fuck a pachinko when I walked up there.
Yeah, that's a sad story of every gamer that gets baited. You see a fun looking place, oh, it's pachinko.
So Jeff went on, he said he tried to enter the pachinko, but he couldn't stay for more than 5 seconds. The smell of smoke is so bad. Yes, it's so deafening, and the smell of smoke will literally kill you within seconds. So he did want to walk out.
It's the noise for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to work in an arcade. where we had the sound on every arcade's attract, every machine's attract mode. And that is not nearly as bad as the pachinko parlor.
Yeah, it's like, it cannot be overstated. If you've never been to a pachinko place in Japan, it's like a wall of sound when you step in through their like soundproofed right. outer doors.
It's like the sound of coins being dropped, but like nonstop from like great height.
And all of the coins.
Yeah,
like,
every coin.
Yeah.
it's like a quadruple volume hailstorm. It's bad.
Yeah, it's like if you worked in the Royal Mint, but like,
but know, all the coins fell.
Yeah.
Anyway, as he goes on, his employer told him he has to buy a smartphone. So since his Brazilian/Korean LG phone doesn't work in Japan, he says he's going to be a normal person and buy an iPhone, because he's a foreigner, and it's better that he doesn't get any attention. But again, he's copying you, Cyrus. He got a Android phone.
Good man.
And Fire Emblem's Heroes isn't cross-save. So it doesn't work on his...
Oh, sucks. So all his days and hours gone. Ugh.
So his brand new Korean smartphone doesn't work. It doesn't have his save file. Also, last week, just kind of going from one point to the next point here. Random points, but anyway, stick to it. He got stopped by the police last week, and since his Nihongo isn't very good, still in baby steps, he's just said, Nihongo wa karenai. Always a good thing to do. I still say that to this day. Gets you out of all sorts of things. Basically, I don't understand Japanese. He didn't understand what the hell they were talking about, but after a while he got the idea that he wasn't allowed to ride his bike while listening to a podcast. Yeah, that is actually true. I've got stopped for doing that as well. Oh, not stopped, but like the policeman's kind of like pointed to his ears and said, like, take out your earphones, mate.
Held up his hands and an X.
Yeah, something like that.
The Japanese sign of literally everything that you're doing wrong.
No.
You are wrong. Your existence is wrong.
Boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed to hold an umbrella or listen to music with two earphones at the same time while riding a bike. And I often do both of those things at the same time.
Wow. Here comes Daredevil.
can you guys think of any other situations that you can get you in trouble?
Yeah.
Don't know Japanese laws. Oh yeah. How long have you got?
Don't rob stuff. Don't do RPG things. Like you do have to knock on people's doors and they have to invite you in before going into their homes. But
There's a few things. You can't drink any alcohol before you drive, and that also applies to bicycles.
Right.
Not even a fraction of a beer.
Right.
But, yeah, but they are strict on that. So
none for the road.
Yeah. Dudes cannot go shirtless outside.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing.
All right.
You have to wear a shirt.
If you go to game centers, be aware that a lot of those places that have like the photo booth sections, you can't go in there if you're a dude by yourself. You have to have a woman escort.
What?
Yeah. A lot of the Perikura booth sections, they like, you can go in with as many women as you want as a big group. You can go in with as many men and women mixed groups as fine, but any men by themselves cannot go in.
Weird.
All drugs are illegal.
Yeah. Although it's legal to have THC in your system, it's not illegal to have, possess, or use weed.
Yeah, there are no classifications of drugs in Japan. There's no A class, B class, C class. There is medicine and there is illegal drugs, and there's no gray line in between. So watch out for that.
You can't carry a pocket knife with you unless it's under like some ridiculous tiny length, like 2 centimeters or something, 5 centimeters. I don't know.
You call that a knife?
This is a boy. Yeah, if you carry a knife anywhere, it has to be like fucking boxed up.
Right. There you go. Hopefully those things can help you. So basically, he says he's enjoying himself living in Japan. It's much better than his third world country of Brazil. That's his words, not mine. In almost every regard, except the food. Because Japanese food tastes like
This is
shit.
this sentence though.
That's why they
Harsh.
are so skinny. I, man, that boggles the mind. I mean, Cyrus said to me that I'm living in hard mode because I'm vegetarian in Japan and there's like literally nothing to eat here. But even I think Japanese food is like amazing. There's like so many good things to eat. So I don't know
I mean,
what he's
you're
eating.
from the UK. That's not like
trap sprung.
There you go. Food is amazing here. It's much better than the back home. But like,
Let me tell you about America, son.
there you go.
Salt, fat, sugar.
Yeah, I mean,
Sometimes in that order.
That's the food pyramid.
maybe Brazilians have an extremely high, threshold for food. I don't know what it is, what they want. I mean, yeah, maybe Jeff, you should have told us what kind of food you like, and then maybe we could have pointed to you in some like, similar foods or like restaurants to get that kind of food here in Japan. Off the top of my head, I actually don't know any Brazilian foods. So yeah, let us know, and we'll help you out. But
It's actually weird because I know a lot of, especially in Yamanashi, in my prefecture, there's a big Brazilian population because there's lots of like orange fields here, so they bring over a lot of labor apparently. So, they all seem to love the Japanese food, a lot of Brazilians that I know around here, so I don't know.
Yeah, Brazilians are actually the one of the highest immigrants in Japan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of there's a lot of links, a lot of ties to Brazil, and vice versa. There's a lot of Japanese in Brazil. I think it's like Brazilians and Koreans and Chinese are like the top three, and white scumbags like you two guys are the super minority. I mean, immigrants only make up 1%. Foreign population is only 1% of the 120 million people that live in Japan. Only 1%, like yeah, like just over a million. And of that million, you start breaking it down. Of that million, I think Americans are like 50,000, something like that. And
Huh.
then British, Irish, smaller than that. So you should be able to find some Brazilian friends who can point you out, get some good Brazilian food in Japan if you're missing it that much.
Yeah, there's a Brazilian restaurant in Kofu just outside the station. It's like 100 miles away from your home, but
You go. Yeah, Ishikawa is far. I don't think we're ever going to meet Jeff unless he comes all the way to Tokyo. And for his final point, he says he didn't know that public transport was so expensive here. He's going to have to wait a little bit more to stay over at Danny's house. Yeah, always welcome. Don't worry about that. Yeah, public transport is expensive, I guess, because like, I mean, in my country, England, the public transport is terrible. Trains are either reasonably priced to astronomically overpriced. It depends on like what time of day you buy a ticket, and if there's a Y in the month or whatever.
Yeah, we
But
don't
like,
have passenger trains in Red County, Montana.
yeah, I mean, where Ty lives, the trains don't exist, right? But like, in Japan, it's kind of like, I mean, it's similar to the kind of, the 100 yen for one, 600 yen for six kind of mentality. Like, there is no discount for like a return ticket. It's like one way plus one way equals return ticket.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that kind of thing would surprise, people. It's like, well, how much is it to get there and back? It's, well, it's the same price as if you got two singles. You can get, like, if you buy, like, what is it, like 15 tickets, you get like it for the price of 14 or something like that. You get like one free, but then you
Yeah.
have to carry around 14 little paper tickets and be careful not to lose them.
I know, and in particular, the his location, he's up in Ishikawa, which is way up on like the northern coast kind of thing. That area recently, they a lot of their JR lines are sold to a different company, so you can't even get like a direct JR line train ticket to like Tokyo from here. So he would have to pay through his butt to go like to switch train lines or take this crazy route, which I have done down south towards Kyoto before getting towards Tokyo. So,
and if you're traveling to the same destination 5 days a week, or maybe even 7 days a week, if you get like a teiki, which is like Japanese for train pass, then you do save a lot of money with that. You'll get more than like one ticket free for that. But you have to buy them in a month. So you have to get it for like the month of October.
Yeah.
I think you can even go up to 3 months, which you save even more. And if you talk with your employer, he might be able to like give you the money back for that. Well, yeah, he should definitely pay you for your transportation, right? So that could be worth it. But some employers don't like paying for those 3 month passes because of the risk, you know, that you might lose it or whatever. So yeah, talk to your employer, see if you can get like a month's pass, and you'll save a bunch of money that way.
Yeah, one thing for anyone who's traveling to Japan, of like a minor tip, is you can get something called like the Seishun Juhachikipu sometimes, which is like the 18 pass, which is it's usually during holiday periods, so during like the summer, during whatever, like the sakura, the cherry blossom season. Right. And it's basically you get five tickets. You can use as many trains as you want in one day on each of the tickets. So, like, you can use local trains, no rapids, no Shinkansen, bullet trains. But
yeah. Well, that's more so like if you're doing a bit of traveling, right?
Yeah, so, like, me and Chika, we went from Kyoto to Tokyo, which is, like, it's like half the length of Japan, on one of these one-day tickets. Oh, it was, like, 18 hours on a train. But
rest in peace.
And yeah, the whole ticket is like $100, so you get five of these as far as you can go on local trains tickets for $100. So they pay for themselves pretty quickly if you want to travel cheap and far. These things are good stuff.
Or just pay 5,000 extra and go on the bullet train, be there in like 30 minutes.
It's like the bullet train from Kyoto to Tokyo, we checked, is like $120 often. So like,
but you paid $100.
We paid $100 for five tickets, but it's one ticket. Kyoto to Tokyo is...
Okay, so you could do that five times.
Yeah.
You're never going to do that, are you?
No, we always end up using all of our tickets, so it's... All right.
No expiry date?
I think it's got an expiry date of, like, there's a like a month or 2 month window you have to use all the five tickets, but...
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he finishes his email with, next year, I hope to meet some of my favorite podcasters. So, yeah, let us know who they are and we'll pass on their details. Thanks for the good work, he finishes with. Okay.
So, how am I supposed to even read this?
Original tweet line calendar?
Yeah.
Danny's been tweeting out the calendars, Nintendo calendars.
Oh, yeah, the online, right? Yeah, so October 9th is the day after Danny's birthday. And it's like, and it's a national holiday called Health and Sports Day.
Oh, that's Don Koopman.
Don, okay.
I thought previously of this
past. Spelling his own name wrong.
Well, he does do that from time to time.
Yeah. So,
Health and Sports Day.
That is today, day of recording this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also the day off for most people.
Yeah, in the States, too, it's also a holiday. It's Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah. Japan has a problem with, like, overworking and stuff. Like, there's not enough national holidays in the country.
Right, so make them up.
In recent years, they have started making up national holidays just to get people to stop working for a while.
Yeah, you notice that they're only on, like, weekdays.
Yeah. The, like, random weekdays is, like, Mountain Day was introduced last year, I think.
Right.
Where it's like, go climb a mountain. And,
no one's gonna climb family.
Out. Yeah, so it was, like, this Health and Sports Day. I can't remember if this is one of the new ones in particular, but a lot of Japanese national holidays are just, like, specific themes like this of, go do this thing on this day.
All right. Yeah. So Aaron RBRs asked... about that day.
That's cool. Do they do any special things for your school for that?
I think, well, Danny just said he usually stays at home, but typically schools do events like Sports Day.
Yeah, we just had that like a week before last.
Yeah, my son had his sports day yesterday on the Sunday, not on the national holiday.
Is he in elementary school or in kindergarten?
He's in nursery, he's in kindergarten. But like I think this Monday was actually like National Sports Day. I don't think it's like school sports day.
Yeah, all the
Right.
students are. It's. I had no school, so yeah, it's. Schools are closed.
Yeah, because some schools have them in the spring, some of them have them in the autumn. It's usually just before it gets too hot or just after it's been too hot. They kind of basically any time but summer because the kids
Right.
would just all collapse of heat
So
exhaustion.
I got a pretty gnarly sunburn. I don't know if you saw it on the last
Oh, yeah.
podcast.
All right. Yeah, actually, I was totally forgot to ask you about that on the episode.
Yep, that was from being outside during all of
Oh, man.
sports day.
Oh, man, I've been there. But yeah, my son's sports day was a lot of fun yesterday. It's obviously it's little chibi sized kids running around a little tiny track. It was a lot of fun. And my son kicked the ass of everyone in the school because his legs are like 2.5 times longer than anyone else in the school.
Oh, he's got that guidance power.
Nice.
Just DNA won the day, I guess.
Just dunk all over everyone.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh man. You always think like, oh, you know those like super competitive parents, like, man, they need to chill out, man. If when I have kids, I'm not gonna be like that. And then when you then now I have kids, it's like, kill them, fucking run them to the ground. You know? It's like, where does that come from? Yeah, I was totally that guy.
In
Good times.
Ireland, like all we do for sports day is like run around this track for like 8 hours and then you're finished. So like
Apparently,
I
in America, it's not a thing at all, ever, right? In the States.
yeah
How
not so
sports
much.
days?
Oh wait, I seem to remember like track and field days. I don't know if it was just my school. The thing is, in America, like every like school in every state is different and it depends on a lot of things. We definitely had a track and field day. I don't remember it so well. Maybe that was only through grade school or through junior high school, maybe.
Yeah, well, this like Japanese ones, I love that. Like in high school, Japanese ones are just kind of run around a track. They might have a couple of goofy events, but it's pretty much just standard sports. But this year, I changed schools. Now I'm in junior high school, and my fiance let me come to her elementary school sports days to see what they're like, and they're totally bonkers, and I love
Yeah,
it.
lots of crazy events and stuff, like
Yeah, like
throwing
the
balls
like
at
in
people.
elementary school, they have these giant inflatable balls that are like easily twice as tall as the students,
Yeah.
and as a team, they have to roll the ball like through this obstacle course, and they have to bring it back to their team, and then they have to like, Mexican wave the ball
Right.
across the top of their entire class, and then. At the people at the back have to p take over as the ball rollers and push it through the obstacle course. And it's just like, I wish my sports day was even half of this fun when I was in school.
Yeah, it's a shame Danny's not on this show. He's got lots of experience with fondling large balls. But yeah, good times. Yeah, sports days are fun. Sports days are fun. And yeah, America, get on it. You should do it. Burn off those calories. Am I right?
Right.
So next up, we've got some Facebook. I don't use Facebook. Who uses Facebook?
I do. I hate every minute of it.
I'm waiting until I move back to Ireland and I'm deleting it. I'm so sick of it. So
Oh, you had to make an account to stay in touch?
yeah, I need to keep it just pure, pretty much at this point, just for planning my wedding. I need Facebook. Like contacts.
Yeah, like it's the means by which I keep in touch with my face my fighting game groups.
There you go. So, Ty, do you know this person?
Yeah, she's been a friend of mine for many, many, many years. She lives in my hometown. And she asks, "Are you guys excited for L.A. Noire on Switch or what? I'd love to hear your thoughts on bringing this rock star goodness to the portable realm."
That was Mia Simmons on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mia. So, I think did we talk a little bit about L.A. Noire last time?
Yeah, just
Maybe
a little bit. I think
briefly.
we mentioned it. Drive-by comments.
I'm interested in playing it. Definitely, I haven't played a minute of it. But I always thought it looked interesting, and like reading people's faces in a video game. I don't think that's ever been done before, has it?
Yeah.
Like actually looking for tells on people's expressions and stuff.
You
actually,
do it in Phoenix Wright, and
yeah,
it's
I was
painful
gonna say that.
Every second of the way.
Yeah. Okay. I played L.A. Noir for an hour or two, and it did not grab me.
Okay.
Not a fan of this game. I'm sorry.
I love that it's on the Switch, because, you know, it's a big-name title. It's not just another indie title coming across.
Yeah, big-name title from, like, 8 fucking years ago.
That's the problem. It's pretty old.
Well, it's coming to everything. It's a remaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's coming to Xbox and PS4 as well, isn't it?
It's a cool game. I never played it. I watched one of my housemates play it start to finish, and I enjoyed side seat driving that one, but that's about it.
Okay. Next up, we've got a whole bunch of YouTube comments, probably because we had YouTube videos going up for TGS.
Oh, man, these are some great comments.
Okay. Oh, well, Ty, you're the YouTube comments guy.
All right. My favorite one is, I love Tak Fuji, and it's like the emoji with the hearts in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's three of them. That's my favorite comment.
Tak Fuji, like the legend. Fuji.
Wow. 1 million troops, wow. He got a haircut, frowny face.
Yeah, that was from Reggie Ruler.
Oh, yeah. So cool. Thanks for the vid.
Sova Mist. Yeah, so cool. So thanks for the vid. Yeah.
Tak Fuji is amazing. I can't wait to play this game. Tak Fuji is a treasure. He looks like he's having a blast playing. Excited face.
All true. Tak Fuji was like the most excited guy to play his own game I've ever seen.
That's always a good sign.
Here's the odd one out from Russ Greeno. Can't believe you didn't know about Ravi Drums. Yeah, I did mention Ravi Drums in the interview, and he just kind of like totally just bypassed that comment.
Oh.
It's like kind of like Wii Music, that drums thing, right? Ravi Drums. And he just totally ignored it. Anyway, the only negative comment, I guess, was from Nervous Jay.
Yeah.
He says,
need some work on registering stuff and would benefit more from greater use of the face buttons. But it looks like Tak has a neat little game on his hands. Yeah, I mean, we all said the same thing, right? Like,
I think so.
It has potential. In the state it's in, it has some issues with the registering stuff.
Yes, exactly.
If only it had some drum pads. If only it was Drum Mania. I'm sorry. I love Drum Mania.
Is that? Oh, yeah, that's the game, the arcade game that you were asking me about?
Yeah.
That I went to?
Yeah, I don't know if I asked you about that game in particular, but yeah, Drum Mania is a Konami game. It's good and fun. You know, okay. It's drumming. It has some very DDR-esque scoring. And the director of that game is the guy that did the soundtracks for the old Ninja Turtle games. Yeah. He did a lot of tracks too, and you can tell. It's like, wow, this dude loves crazy drum fills.
Right on. Okay, I think that's all the comments and feedback that we have for this episode.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to move on to a super special promotion.
Ooh.
So yeah, we get a lot of comments like saying how people would like to help us out on Patreon, but they just don't have the cash at the moment. So I thought it'd be cool to do a little promotion and give away a few episodes to people who want them and select a bunch of people. So what the offer that we have is that if you email us a good question, hopefully a life in Japan kind of question, the best emails will receive a download link to any Famicast spin-off show of their choice. So if you heard us talking about these spin-off shows and you think, oh, that would have been cool to listen to that, think of a cool question and we'll just send you the direct download for that, and you can listen to it. If you want, obviously, if you want to get the RSS feed and have all of them immediately at your fingertips, you will have to subscribe on Patreon. But yeah, if you want to win a download code for one episode of your choice, yeah, send us a good question. And just as a quick recap, the spin-off shows that we have are Sound Test, which is getting its second episode this month. We have Champion Edition with Ty, which has had two episodes. And we have Collector's Corner with Cyrus and Danny. That's also had two episodes. And we have Life in Japan full-length podcast. We have Famicast Screen Time, our movie and TV show podcast. And that'll be making a return next month in November. That'll preview that. We have Armchair Designers Club, which the second episode is happening at the end of this month. And we have Super Splat Hour, which happened last month with me and Cyrus. And then finally, we have Happy Smile Super Challenge Famicast Wish Show, which we talked about previously, our awesome quiz show. So yeah, if any of those sound interesting, send us a good email and you'll win a download code for the podcast of your choice.
So in 7-Eleven recently, this is for the Pokemon fans out there, is that they do Pokemon like giveaways pretty regular in Japan, where like you just go into 7-Eleven, you can download things using the 7-Spot thing. And 7-Spot's like the free Wi-Fi they give there.
Yeah, you just mentioned that like everyone knows. Oh yeah, just go to the 7-Spot.
Yeah, I meant to use the, what was it, the DS hotspot thing that's built in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you go in there, you get these like special 7-Eleven promotions, like DLC for your favorite games, whatever.
Splatoon 2?
Yeah, Splatoon 2 has it. So right now they have a Pokemon event where you can get, I think it's a shiny Silvally. So he's like level 100, he's shiny. I don't think you can get him in the game as shiny normally. So I have one. Good. I have no real interest in him, so if anyone wants him, I think I'll run a giveaway. So if
on the Famicast Twitter account,
just tweet this Famicast Twitter account, tell me who your favorite Pokemon is, and we'll put you in a draw, get a free shiny Silvally that I'll trade to you.
Okay, if you're listening to this a bit late, you'll might have to scroll through the Famicast feed, but you'll find it.
Yeah, I'll post the Twitter feed, the link up, so you'll hopefully have read it there before you hear it here.
All right. Okay, it's time to wrap up this bad boy. So yeah, thank you for listening. That was Famicast episode 111. I wouldn't make any dog jokes whatsoever, but yeah, 111 is the sound of a dog in Japanese.
Silvally kind of looks like a dog. He looks he's terrible looking too. That's a bit of a joke.
Hey, also Chainchomp is 111 in Japanese. You know that?
True story. Yeah.
But if you want to follow the show on Twitter, it's at the Famicast. That's if you want that Pokemon thing that Cyrus just talked about. If you want to follow me, I'm at Famicomplicated. Please to enjoy. Cyrus?
You get me at Celsi. So, me up there on Twitter. I draw stuff at the moment.
Awesome. Cool. And Mr. Shugart?
Oh, I'm Super Cat Drugs. No spaces, no underscores, none of that. And recently, maybe this is what you were thinking of, James. I offered a $100 bounty to anyone who wins a major fighting game tournament with this controller. And that's this god awful thing. It looks like a skin severed head.
Yeah, with the brains and stuff for analog sticks.
No, the analog sticks are eyeballs.
Oh yeah, sorry, my mistake.
Yeah, I'd like to extend that also to the Wu-Tang Clan PS1 controller. So, You know, I just did it as a joke, but I'll seriously pay up if anybody wins a major fighting game tournament with this god-awful controller or the Wu-Tang controller. I'll PayPal you $100.
What about the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller?
No, I'll give you $20.
I think that's pretty much just a standard GameCube controller, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and there's Smash Brothers majors all the time, so I'm not looking to go broke.
Good point. Okay, so until Famicast 112, which will be, you know, in a couple of weeks, this is James signing out, and Cyrus and Ty. Until next time, peace!
Peace out.
Any game you want. I'm good at all of them. I have 97 of them.
You know all 97 of them?
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Yeah, well, just keep your power gloves off her, pal, huh?